Hello and welcome to another episode of the Full Force Weekly, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me as your host, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. For today's episode, I'm joined by the awesome Patrick Not Picard Stewart. In this regular video series, we round up all the week's news in the world of G.I. Joe. What is it, Pat?
It's the Full Force Weekly.
Yes, it is. Good morning to all of our viewers and listeners and all of them. There's only 20 watching at the moment. There'll be more. It'll catch on. Good to have you back on, buddy. How are you doing, Pat?
Doing well, actually. It's not bad. It's actually been a productive week for me, so that's good.
Awesome. It's been a slow week in G.I. Joe news, though, I must admit. But we did have... We have got some news to talk about this week. Don't worry. We'll have plenty to talk about. Have no fear. But it's one of those ones where we've had so much the last couple of weeks where it's been like seven news stories we have to get through each week. So like, it's kind of a little bit nice to have a bit more freedom to get into some discussion going on today.
Yeah, that's true. There's a little more space. So this one's going to last forever like it always used to.
So expect a four-hour episode today, guys. Hello, Full Force, cheese bags, all that good stuff. Thanks to everyone for jumping on in the comments. Hope everyone's doing well. Let us know how you're getting on today. Thank you, Neil. We'll be talking about the Super 7 interview a little bit later on. Thank you for that comment. That's very nice. Okay. Oh, Yorktown Joe said, just finished watching the Retro Storm Shadow Zartan review from yesterday as a lead-in. Nice. That's a lot of content to be swallowing on a Saturday morning, Yorktown Joe. I hope we don't have to send out an ambulance or something. that might be a bit too much of us to take on a Saturday. Anyway, I suppose we might as well get stuck in then, eh, Pat? Unless you want to talk a little bit more about your week.
No, that's okay. I did painting of the house and I didn't... was not productive for articulated point, so I'm going to have to apologize at the end again.
Another apology episode. You should just do an episode that's just you saying, look, I'm really sorry, and that's it. That's the whole episode.
No, I'm not going to do that.
That'd be great. That. It's content, though, isn't it? Just a quick wisdom tooth update. It's healed now, so done. It was nowhere near what Pat's horror story had to go through. Crazy, isn't it? Who wants to see it? I'm just kidding. It's not actually that bad. There's nothing really there anymore. But you're just checking, aren't you? You're just putting your tongue.
I am checking. Yeah, see if my scars are still there. My crooked tooth in the back from it shifting is still there.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay, let's get onto the news and start pulling teeth in the old-fashioned way.
The team at Gunship Battle Total Warfare have revealed the third and final chapter of their G.I. Joe crossover event with Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes in a brand new video posted on Thursday. The event will feature all of the previous exclusives as well as new exclusives like the Rattler and Night Raven, Admiral skins for Dr. Mindbender, Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, a new card collection event, a special Cobra Commander Eternal Legacy base skin and a Timber weapon charm. The event kicks off on Tuesday next week, so get ready, or don't, it's up to you really.
Yeah, it is up to you guys. Bryn Anderson says, Dental Force. Yes, we are back. Full Dental Force. Neil Hill says, the Pat Apology Tour. It's going to have to be a tour, isn't it? Definitely. It's going to have to whole, like, multi-city event going on. Neil Hill says, I wish you had teased a Wave 5 tease out of Brian, but great interview overall. Thank you very much, Neil. We'll be getting to that very shortly and getting into the nitty-gritty of that particular conversation that we had. Sorry, I just have to wait for another loud siren to go past. And it's not going very quick. I wish you could see this. What is worrying me now is that because it's outside the building, I'm thinking maybe I'm on fire. Slowest fire truck ever. Like, I wish you could see it. It's hilarious. It's just making a lot of noise and it's just
I can kind of tell that it's just kind of it's like the siren's even going slow because the truck is going slow.
Just waving at him. Cheers, lads. Thanks. Okay, that's that. Okay. Barbecue's gone past. Barbecue and although Charbroil created fires, he didn't really put them out, did he? Was there an who else was on the team that was like a firefighter? Was it just Barbecue?
Well, there's been some 12-inch firefighters.
I'm gonna have to let us know in the comments as well. Okay, so I'm trying to put together a whole fire team, but it's just gonna be people
that start the fires and some of them just Barbecue puts them out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not like Blowtorch, Charbroil, they're all good. They can just like, you know, toast things up, but ice cream soldier. As well. Yeah. Amazing. Okay, sorry, sidetrack. Gunship Battle Total Warfare is coming. That's happening, I believe, on Tuesday. If you're interested, of course. Pat and I spoke about this in as much depth as we possibly could last week. But effectively, we're just getting some, you know, interesting, nice artwork and nice kind of things like that kind of going on at the moment. And then we have this like loadout of things that they're going to be throwing into the event. So obviously the Rattler's a nice addition. The Night Raven's a cool little touch as well. And then obviously you've got the Admiral portraits, which they've included Mindbender in on that. You get all the old past exclusives. I don't even know what a weapon charm is. Just hang from the weapon. I don't really get it, but that's what that is. Base skin, obviously that kind of gets applied to your base on your little map. And they do card collection on this as well. So there's like a little trading card kind of game, which is kind of interesting as well, which I think you just collect the cards, but I've never actually seen how that is utilized in a practical sense. I would probably be interested in a trading card sort of collecting G.I. Joe thing again, but physical. Would you ever be into that, Pat? Because I like the thought of going into like a Target or Walmart and picking up a pack of G.I. Joe cards. Do you know what I mean?
The Impel cards were a big hit for me. That those were such a great time because not all those figures were out at the time that the cards came out. So they kind of served as a teaser for what was coming as well. Everything okay?
I'm not sure if you can hear what's going on in the background. It sounds like a lot of noise is going on. I wonder if it's got anything to do with the fire engine that went past. Maybe there's like a parade or something. I don't know. Like, I'm just gonna carry on as if it's normal. Okay. Ignore the background. Yeah,
if you have a fire drill in the place, maybe you should go. But
I'm cool. Like I'm almost certain it is not affecting me. But it's just interesting what's going on outside. Ray Murphy, good shout on this though. Lifeline was an ex-fire department paramedic, but not a firefighter per se.
Interesting. Oh, very good call. Yeah.
That's a great shout though, Ray. Thank you very much. the author said that sounded like a police squad car pulling up over a child on a bicycle. That's exactly what it looked like from the window. Just these like lights going really slow. That reminds me of that Simpsons episode where they try to intercept, is it like Sideshow Bob on that old like Wright Brothers plane, but they're in like jets and they shoot straight past and they're like, we were going too fast. So they have to like get out. We're going to proceed on foot. And the pilots get out and they're walking behind it. It's so funny. One of my favorite Simpsons moments, that is. Anyway, yeah, it's all going crazy right now. Yes, so anyway, that's Gunship. But yeah, coming back to the cards. Sorry, Pat. Would you be into new modern cards collector type scenario?
Yeah, I would actually want some new art, though. And yeah, I would want the art to... Like, there have been some of these games and things that have had some great new art. But yeah, I think that it'd be... It's tough. It's a different world. With the internet, I'd probably see all the cards before I had the chance to get them. There was something exciting back in the 80s and 90s of buying a pack of cards and really not knowing what the card looked like until you got it in hand.
Yeah.
So it's different now, but sure. I wouldn't want them to be, you know, $10 a pack for three cards in the pack, like cards tend to be now.
Yeah.
But But yeah, just some good old wax packs or something like that would be fun.
I just like the thought of doing something a little nostalgic like that. I know, obviously, you know, Renegade Game Studios do the trading card kind of deck building games and stuff like that. That's slightly different. That's not really what I'm getting at. I'm really talking more about like a collecting thing where you, you know, like you buy them in packs and you look to try and build the little collection like that way.
The last collection I can think of, and I did get them, but I eventually got frustrated. I quickly got frustrated and just bought a set of them on eBay, was G.I. Joe Retaliation had a card set.
Interesting. I don't think I ever, I vaguely remember that, vaguely.
Well, you probably do, because some of the characters that were in the movie, but not really, like their scenes got cut, actually, like Clutch and Grunt actually had cards that showed their full character outfit. So it was a decent set. Philip had pointed it out to me. And then I found some of them at Dollar Tree, I think it was.
Yeah. Lots of people are saying pork chop sandwiches in the chat, which is hilarious, by the way. Thank you very much. No one needs to send help. Do we need to say? No, everything's cool. All the noise has died down now. I believe there was just a huge amount of people that just walked past the building. But the fact that there was a fire engine before it making an absolute racket, I was concerned that a building had been emptied. But no, everything is cool. Jeffrey says, if you smell it, run from it. Well, okay, I will. I'll try. Viper Scout says, that Impel set was nuts. Me and my friends would buy a pack per day with our lunch money. I remember.
Yeah, love that set.
We didn't have the Impel cards unfortunately. But I remember vividly having an absolute blast when the Action Force Panini sticker album came out. And it was that one with Duke on the front, kind of like, you know, running. Mm-hmm. And I just loved going every day and just getting as many Action Force, you know, sticker packs as they had. We would, like, my bus stop. So I would get out of my house, walk up the kind of road, and then I'd be on like the main road, and that was where my bus stop was. And opposite our little bus stop for the school was a little store called Penny's, and they would just have like little sweets, little candy kind of things, and like, you know, crisps and chips. Sorry, I've had to say twice because you all have different bloody terms for everything. So chips, candy, all that kind of good stuff they had there, like a tiny little grocery store basically. And they would have every now and again whatever the craze was, whether it be like football aka soccer, or you know, Action Force or Transformers or whatever it was, whatever the sticker album was out at the time, they would just have the little packs there, and we would go absolutely nuts. We rinsed them, like, as soon as they were out, it was like, yep, thanks, I'll have like half the whole pack of them. And then it was on the bus with your swapsies, with your mates. It was so much fun, man. I remember that.
Yeah, the only sticker book I ever did was the Transformers the Movie one. And I did a lot of those. And I even got, like, sets on clearance. Like, there was like, a starter set that I think I bought, like, 10 of those.
Nice.
And in the end, I was, like, somewhere I still have that sticker book, and it's missing one sticker.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know which one it is, but I don't know if I should put it in or just leave it to the truth of what happens.
Okay, like, I like that.
Should I find that sticker and finish it?
No.
Or should I leave it as it stood from the 80s?
This is what you do. You find the sticker that it goes with, but you don't take it off. You just put it on in the page. Like, you just wedge it in the middle so that when you open the page, the sticker that goes there is there, but the history of it remains the same. So, you know, you're kind of completing it, but you're not completing it at the same time.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
I like that, man. That's really nice. Oh, the Marvel Masterpieces sets Viper Scout were so good. Oh my God, I used to love those. Loved those so much. This has turned into, like, you know, we've completely gone away from Gunship Battle Total Warfare, and now we're just talking about how fun it would be to have collectible cards again. It would be so much fun.
Yeah, I will say about the Gunship Battle, I really like the Dr. Mindbender art, the way that they have him in a purple mad scientist coat, lab coat.
Big time.
It's just like the Battle Corps figure, really.
I wonder if this is any inclination of me. Well, it's not really, but I wonder if they'll ever do like a Mindbender like this for the Classified line, you know, like kind of like covered up.
Yeah, I think this would be a great idea for the Classified line. Obviously, in the white lab coat is kind of a a mindbender that appeared several times in the comics.
Definitely.
But I like the idea of it being purple, like the Battlecore figure instead.
Definitely. Yorktown Genesis.
You should just do both.
Perhaps Logan Paul could help you with some G.I. Joe cards. I have a feeling those were probably thrown in an incinerator shortly after they opened them. Yeah, wedge the sticker like a bookmark, the figure six pack. That's exactly what I was getting at. And I think that would be a perfect way to do it, Pat. Find that sticker, wedge it in as a bookmark, and don't actually stick it on there. And then you've completed it. Your OCD is fine at that point, but you've got that nice little bit of history, and this is how it happened. So I like that. You're not going to follow this. You're not going to follow this advice, though, are you?
I could also see the OCD of me just buying a brand new book and a whole set of stickers.
Yeah, because that's way cheaper. Do that. That's way cheaper and way more practical. I love it.
And then as I feel them, the glue is no good, so I have to figure something out there with, like, spray adhesive or something.
A Punk with Toys says, baseball sticker books were great. I used to love them because I'd always be able to get a pack at Perry Drugstore. Didn't have that one where I was from, unfortunately, A Punk with Toys, but that's awesome. It's nice to hear other people's, like, you know, what they did when they were kids, when they, you know, would collect these things. I just remember vividly just, oh God, whenever I saw that, the new stickers in, because obviously we'd have wiped them out and then they wouldn't get any for another like 2 weeks or whatever. So like, you know, you get another pack in and all of a sudden it's just like, oh, you know, that fresh feeling. Oh, I've got to get more, got to have more of them. The excitement of opening them, even though like for the most part, you'd be getting doubles like 75% of the time. That was the other thing with Panini stickers. It always seemed to be like a high ratio against new stickers. Obviously, that increases as you go on, because obviously when you first get a load of stickers, most of them are going to be brand new. But it did feel like they were just, you know, that was the way they did it. Do you know what I mean? To get you to buy more. And it makes sense, obviously, from a business perspective.
And, you know, thinking about how I never really get rid of anything, there should be like a stack like that of Diamond Transformers stickers
should
around
be.
Somewhere.
None of them are the one that's missing, though.
That is true. None of that one.
I always used to hate it as well when a buddy of mine would open his packet and he'd get like the one that everyone had been like waiting for, the one that everyone had been like on edge to get hold of. And it would be like the other half of that shiny from like on one of the pages. I can't believe we talked for 20 minutes already, Pat. How does this happen all the time? Amazing. Anyway, right. Your fellow collectors all have ODC. That's even better. That's like a different, completely different condition.
I think he just did that so we'd all go, ooh.
Yeah, we'd all go, oh, he needs to change
setting
that.
Setting off our OCD.
he's setting off our ODC. Amazing. Okay, well, that's Gunship Battle Total Warfare. Drops on Tuesday. I don't know if I'll probably give it another go, though. This is the thing. It's always the way. If you dangle G.I. Joe things in front of me, I'll probably bite eventually. I did get in on Gunship Battle initially, and I have said this before. I'll keep it brief, sorry. But when I first played it, it was very much a case of, oh, you're going to have to pay some money. You're going to have to pay some money to really get some G.I. Joe stuff here or spend a significant amount of time on it. And I just don't have that time and I don't, the money, I, you know, I want to spend my money elsewhere. So it's, you know, if people are doing it and enjoying it, fantastic. And I mean, this is the third event they've done now. So it must be somewhat popular, would you say, Pat?
Yeah, I would think that their audience probably is, there's a high likelihood that G.I. Joe is just working well with them.
Yeah.
I would think that it's probably a younger audience, though, too. So this is a good way of G.I. Joe getting in front of a younger group. So this is a good thing that if it's working well for them, I'm sure it's working well for G.I. Joe as well.
Absolutely. Ed says, Chris, 20 minutes on nothing means you're good at your job. No, it doesn't. It just means there's a bloody fire engine going past. That's what it means, Ed. No, I appreciate that, mate. Very, very, very nice of you to say thank you. Oh, Michael Jean Fleming. Couldn't respond earlier because I was driving, but I believe one of Mega Marines, Blastoff, was a firefighter before he was a flamethrower trooper. Interesting. Can you do a check on that for me, Pat?
I'm just going to believe him. That sounds right to me.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And I like some of this information coming at us because I had mentioned at some point that I thought that it would have been cool to have had like a rescue team.
Yeah.
Out of like a Toys R Us six pack. And yeah. These were some really good options. Like
Medela.
Blastoff being one of the ones that was available at the time. Yeah, a new sideswipe in the team. Not that you need another sideswipe from obscurity of rescue characters, but
he's absolutely right. Jeffrey D. Thompson,
yes.
E4, Missouri, Kirkwood, Missouri. Kate will love that. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Primary specialty, flamethrower. Secondary specialty, firefighter. Thank you, Michael Jean Fleming. Blastoff from the Mega Marines is absolutely
good call.
Great call, mate. Fantastic call. This is the I like the hive mind that we have going on. Whenever I get stuck on something, I just go, just let us know in the comments. It's just easier, isn't it? Let's face it. Neil says, Chris and Pat get the Cool Story Bro prize this morning. One story is about a missing sticker, and the other story is about a building burning down and a fire engine going past at 1.5 miles an hour. Brilliant. Brilliant. Thanks, Neil. generic human Peter, not AI. I'm not even going to bother looking. Yeah, why not? Could I ask how you would fell having an AI bot in your chat? Please type yes or no. I'm not typing anything. How would you feel, Pat, if you had a generic AI bot in your chat? Or how would you fell?
I think you have. It's just I'm usually not here for it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's so true. Bring back Naked HD. That's what I say. We haven't had that for a while. And I think it's because you're doing more episodes with us. So that's probably what's happened. Anyway. Right, let's move on because we have talked about this for hours and there's a really cool, actually speaking of cool story, bro, let's move on to some Super 7 news.
This week may have been light on Joe news, but man, was it a crazy one for us. We got the opportunity to chat with Brian Flynn from Super 7 regarding the April 1st Cobra Escape 3-pack, the Ultimates Wave 4, and lots more awesome info. Brian was gracious enough to give us a few exclusives as well. A few weeks back, we reported on some leaked reaction listings for Tiger Force and Python Patrol. However, it would appear as though there are two more listings yet to be revealed. We will be getting another Tiger Force figure in that wave, and a Tiger Force Target exclusive as well, all to be revealed in June. Brian also dropped a huge SDCC clanger saying that the name for this year will be
Cobra International Operations is coming to San Diego Comic-Con.
That's right, the Cobra theme will be continuing from last year, and we will be delving into international waters, so expect a lot of awesome product and merchandise to drop in July. You can check the full interview out on our YouTube channel after the show.
Yeah, make sure you watch it after the show. Don't watch it now. That would be really rude. do what you want, actually. I'm not your real dad. Right. So, the Full Force Redacted, we had a nice little conversation with Brian Flynn from Super 7, and it was, again, they just get better and better. He's so, like, he's so nice and approachable and is always up for doing these. And I've got it, you know, obviously, big shout out to Brian for doing it in the first place. But I never really have any issues on that front. Brian is always very open to do these kind of chats. And then he just literally flows information out because he's the boss and he can kind of do what the heck he wants. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's really nice that he's so accessible.
Yeah, totally. Well, first off then, we got that information about the Tiger Force and Python Patrol. Now, we reported a while back about those listings. Featuring a number of Python Patrol and Tiger Force characters. Destro, Cobra Commander, Baroness of the Cobra Bat for Python Patrol, Snake Eyes, Scarlet, and Duke for the Tiger Force. Now, he said there was one missing for Tiger Force, so there would be, because obviously it's an eight-figure wave and they do 4 and 4. So Pat and I are going to have to, like, we're going to be doing our speculative chat today about what these could be. And then there's another one that he threw in there. He said also there'll be a Target exclusive Tiger Force character as well. So massive reveal there from Brian. If you haven't seen the interview yet, go check it out, like I said, after the show. Now, what do you think, Pat, here, in terms of the figure that's going to go with this wave? We'll start with that first, because the Target exclusive, we could probably narrow it down even more based on what we've had as precedent in the past. But if we start with this, this particular figure first, who do you think would make for a no-brainer in the Joes? Bear in mind, we've only got Duke at the moment in the Joe Tiger Force lineup that actually got historical Tiger Force ties.
Yeah, well, looking at the historical Tiger Force ties and just assuming that they're going to use, I guess we have to look at it as assuming that they're going to use molds that exist first. And I think that the two shoe-ins that would be the most obvious choices would be Roadblock and Flint.
Agreed.
There are some other ones in there that you could throw in that have been Tiger Force. Like, they could do Mutt. It wasn't that mold of Mutt at the convention, but you could say convention Mutt, or even if you wanted to be super weird, convention Zartan.
Oh yeah, the kind of phasing from General Hawk to Zartan one.
Yeah, which would be very bizarre to have a Tiger Force Zartan at retail, because that was intended to be like an in-between phase. So I don't think that would happen, but I just wanted to mention it.
That's a good shout. And I think that I would expect it to be I know like it's Tiger Force, but I'd probably expect it to be one of the Joes. I'd think that maybe you're looking at, like say Flint or Roadblock are the kind of the real standouts there.
Yeah.
Based on what's already been in the past.
There's even two past Tiger Force Roadblocks.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking like a lot of repaints here effectively. So, I think it's going to be another repaint. I don't think they're going to do new tooling on this wave at all. This is a good shout, by the way. Viper Scout says Sabretooth. Rachel also says repainted Firefly Tiger Force Wreckage, which is the same, effectively, in a sense. But what do you think about that?
Well, you know, if they did that, I'd be really curious to see what colors they came up with, because whenever Wreckage was made, obviously, he was intended to be Sabretooth. You know, they were intending on getting that figure finally out to retail. But the colors of Wreckage aren't quite the colors of Sabretooth, because I think at the time, the team at Hasbro probably was going off of the black and white picture that was on Yojo at the time of that figure. But now there's much better reference material. So I'd be curious to see if they were to do Wreckage as Wreckage was as a figure, or if they did Wreckage as Sabretooth originally was.
There's a couple of good shouts here as well. Sammy Delco's made a very, very good point. He did say it was someone out of left field for that fourth Tiger Force spot. So with that said, I think Wreckage / Sabretooth is a really good shout.
Means it's Hardball.
I think that's probably a really good standout, actually, because of Firefly. They've got Firefly already in the line. That would be a cool repaint. I think that works really well, actually, for that fourth spot, based on all the other information we're being given here. Now, it could just be, when he says out of left field, it's not a character that's been in Tiger Force before, in much the same way that Snake Eyes, Scarlet haven't been in Tiger Force, and Baroness, Cobra Commander, and Destro haven't been in the Python Patrol. So it could be another random character, effectively. But I think, I don't know, I'm liking the Wreckage / Sabretooth thing. I wonder if, that's a good shout as well, Diana. Jinx, I like that one.
I do think there could be some pre-planning here too. They may have something that's coming on down the road that we're just going to get as Tiger Force first. That's a possibility.
Yeah. Jim Smith says Tiger Force Shipwreck. He said you wouldn't expect it. That's a great, great shout. But
for sure, yeah.
Do you think that works? That could work for the Target exclusive. Because when you think of, I know someone's actually mentioned something that is quite interesting here. For the Target, would it be a Storm Shadow repaint? We've had quite a few so far. I'm not sure.
You know what one occurred to me actually that could be a Storm Shadow repaint that would kind of work? It wasn't Storm Shadow, but Tiger Claw.
Oh yeah, with the orange mask and the green gear, and the little
You could make a Tiger Claw out of Spot Shadow and call him Tiger Force. That would work.
Oh my goodness, that's not only deep cut, but that's like creative thinking as well, isn't it? That's like kind of really going around the houses to try and
a little bit.
I like that, Pat. I like that a lot. But
I think that the other one that it probably isn't, but does have a mold that exists, is Bazooka, but he's in that winter coat. And I don't think that that counts as out of left field. I mean, it would be odd for him to have his winter coat on and be in Tiger Force. It'd be cool, kind of, to see what that would look like. Especially like, winter coat for a jungle trooper. But maybe he's just trying to make Frostbite feel okay.
And Blizzard. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and Blizzard.
That's another thing. You could look at some of the European Tiger Force figures here. That's something we haven't really thought about yet.
Well, yeah, but looking at those, I don't really see... Like, some of those mold choices are not ones that I would see a standard figure hitting the reaction line right away. I
mean, what about Outback might be one, though? Because the thing with Outback is he's very, like, well-known as an obscure character. It's a weird one, isn't it? It's like, how can he be two things at once?
Kind of.
Tiger Force Outback is two things at once. He's extremely well-known and popular, and at the same time, super obscure.
I think the front runner, really, from the European ones, though, is Tunnel Rat. But he did say in one of your interviews that once he gets into the movie characters, he's going to want to stay in the movie characters, which makes me think it's not Tunnel Rat.
Could be pre-paints, though, as well. We could be getting...
I mean, it could be. Yeah, he could be... They could put in Tunnel Rat in order to just have that one banked.
What about...
I think that if he's not... If they're not approaching all of the movie stuff... It's just not going to be Tunnel Rat yet. That'd be my guess.
I do like some of these thoughts, though, down here. Lady J says, past the pierogi, says, I don't buy reaction, but I'd love a Lady J Tiger Force. That would be kind of fun. I'd like to see Lady J in Tiger Force. And someone's mentioned...
I agree, because having Flint in Tiger Force, it would just be nice to have Lady J along with him.
Yeah, you could do like almost like a Canary Ann job, like Diana Davis is saying here.
Yeah.
And kind of like have the two working at the same kind of time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I quite like that.
Yeah, and they've done a lot of international stuff, so it kind of makes sense, especially as Target exclusives. If you figure you have the Fun School Snake Eyes, you have Satin
Ninja Viper as well.
It has been a trend. Yeah.
There's a lot. Yeah, they've got a lot of interesting kind of international jobs in there. Oh, Red Laser, yeah, I think you mentioned that. Tiger Force Skidmark as well, that's a hilarious one, Diana. But again, you only have to put a couple of stripes on his helmet and away you go, Kitty said. Tiger Force Stalker, says Viper Scout. Now, there is a Stalker figure, but like Pat mentioned about the Mutton Junkyard scenario, that is not the Tiger Force Stalker necessarily base body. But could you see that being one of them?
Maybe. I mean, just as much as, like you said, kind of like Mutt was. So, maybe.
Robert H. says, I think it's a Tiger Force green shirt. That would be a little bit left field kind of thinking, actually.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. That would certainly be left field. And since we haven't really seen a lot of green... Man, how big is Tiger Force getting, though, if they have green shirts? You know, it makes sense. I guess it would need to be like a stripe shirt or something.
Well,
like
at some point they just change the name from G.I. Joe to Tiger Force, don't they? Because it gets so big that everyone's on it.
And G.I. Joe becomes the sub team. Yeah. I'm curious to see what Scarlet looks like, because you know what figure has always reminded me of Tiger Force is the Desert Patrol figure.
Yeah.
From Valor versus Venom. It's Desert Patrol, but she has tiger stripes. So I'm kind of curious to see what colors they go with on her.
I will also, I'll take that one. I'll raise you a, what was I thinking then? Night Force Action Man, who looks like he could be in Tiger Force. Because he's got the orange shirt and he's got the camo paint on his face. And it looks like stripes. I've always thought that one was one of those ones when if I don't really pay attention, I just assume it's a Tiger Force figure, but I know it's not. It's a Night Force one.
You're onto something there, though, because I would like to see, like, if they could sneak in an Action Man character into the G.I. Joe reaction waves, that would be really cool, too. I like that idea.
Ed says GI Action Tiger Joe Force. That's a much better name. It's way smoother and it works perfectly. Yeah, cool. Okay. Oh, Ray says the green shirt could pass for a Tiger Force hit and run repaint. That's actually quite cool as an idea. Yeah. So you could kind of like give it like a, yeah, I'd like see what you're saying, Ray.
Hit and run. Yeah, you could. That is true.
Death Valley Machine says, I agree that Wreckage would be totally awesome and considered out of left field.
That'd be really popular too. Yeah.
A lot of people are saying, Wreckage, Sabretooth, et cetera, et cetera. That would be really awesome. And in terms of the Tiger exclusive, I suppose we should go into more detail here, or at least go into what we're thinking here. Now, we've had a lot of Storm Shadow repaints. Do you think Tiger Force Storm Shadow would be something they would do here?
Well, not really, because again, it kind of falls in that Zartan area where, you know, that's a villain. And I say Tiger Claw, and I do think that would be a cool figure.
Yeah, that is dope.
I think it would sit on shelves, though. I think it would sit on the pegs. So I don't think that would necessarily be it. But, you know, it would definitely be out of left field if that counts as when he said out of left field, does that count for the Target exclusive as well?
No. The out of left field is the fourth figure in the Tiger Force lineup for the wave.
All right.
I think it's wave six, I want to say. I think this is wave six.
You know who else it could be that would kind of make sense? Is maybe Wild Bill or Torpedo.
Oh, Torpedo. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Have we had a Torpedo yet?
I don't think we actually have. I don't think a Tiger Force Torpedo, even though he was part of the original lineup, I don't think that's happened yet. But that would still make sense.
You know? I think we'll get a Torpedo at some point, and I think we'll get a Tiger Force Torpedo at some point, because they like to hit at those kind of like flash points during the history of the brand, don't they?
And that would kind of go in with what Diana was saying too, with utilizing the Funskull figure, because there is that Funskull yellow Torpedo that I still, in my mind, I wonder if whenever they made that, if they were referencing the Tiger Force Torpedo that didn't come out. I mean, it has a fully black mask on, and the only part that we can see of Tiger Force Torpedo sitting there in the vehicle is that it was yellow.
Yeah.
So that's not the same, but I just kind of wonder if there is a connection there. And if they did it, they could kind of do two things at the same time. And that would also kind of be like an international thing, like the Target exclusives have tended to be.
Yeah. Yorktown Joe says Python Patrol Grey Diamonds Pattern Storm Shadow. The only thing with that, Yorktown, I think we would probably get that at some point. I think we're going to get a Python Patrol Storm Shadow, agreed. But I don't think we're getting it here because Brian specifically stated that there were two Tiger Force figures that were missing from the listings, this one and a Tiger Force Target exclusive figure. So he was very specifically, you know, confirmed that basically. But I do think, though, that we will probably get a gray, patterned Storm Shadow for Python Patrol at some point.
Striker would be nice too.
Yes, yeah, definitely. I thought you meant the plane.
No, the character.
The actual character, yeah. Totally. TF Beachhead, good shout. Neil Hill, I get the reference, but I can't put that on screen. It's hilarious though, and it's definitely a nickname they give Torpedo in the cartoon when he first shows up, and it's so funny. And I bet they wish they could overdub that and change it a little bit. Anyway, yeah, I think, well, Leslie, it's a long shot. A Baron Ironblood, perhaps. A Baron Ironblood would be fantastic, but yeah, I don't think they're going to get a Tiger Force by Baron Ironblood, honestly.
But if they did just keep him on the list and give him the cape this time, do that Baron Ironblood.
With the green skin and everything.
Yeah, just do the crazy other Baron Ironblood.
Yes. If people don't know what we're talking about, there's not an easy way to find reference material of it. You might be able to. If you just go into Google and type Palutoy Baron Ironblood vinyl cape, maybe, or try something like that. But effectively, there are images out there of this. I think it was Neville Chadwick. Is it Neville Chadwick? No,
yeah,
Neville, it's Neville Chadwick, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was the photographer for Palitoy back in the day, and he did some wonderful Dio shots, and he kept some of the images and posted them on his website and everything, and they were all over the website. But he had loads of stuff that he'd taken pictures of for Special Weapons Force and for this original, like, Baron Ironblood kind of concept figure, which effectively had a red vinyl cape and green skin. It was really interesting, wasn't it, Pat?
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool looking. It's definitely a significant difference on a pre-production figure. And the vinyl cape isn't even shaped just like a Star Wars cape. I mean, it's the same material, but there's, like, parts of it, as I recall. I almost want to look at it again myself.
I do now as well. I'm going to see if it actually exists online.
It tucks into different spots. And then, of course, we're talking Tiger Force. I can't not mention Big Brawler.
Oh, yeah.
Big Brawler definitely would be a fun one.
Definitely. Concept. Let's see if that comes up. No. I thought we'd get the image straight away, but no. I do have it somewhere. Maybe I could post it at some point and just kind of like put like a bit of context to that image so people are aware that that's what we were talking about on the show. If you have seen it, then awesome. But if not, it's definitely worth checking out. Excuse me. Yorktown Joe says, if the cut is too deep, the Earth's core could be breached. And it's very true. But honestly, I think the deeper the cut,
so it's been humanoid, is what he's saying.
Exactly. But I like the deeper the cut, the better for me. What do you think, Pat? Are you a fan of the deeper?
That's the thing that I have been enjoying with the reaction stuff. That three pack that was just revealed is really cool. I like the stuff that is not necessarily things that I feel the need to have in 3 3/4, but also some of the things that I do have. I don't know. It's fun to walk into Target and to see Ninja Viper on the pegs.
Totally. Totally. Okay. Excuse me. Right. Python Patrol, Tiger Force. That was the first kind of like interesting thing. The fact that Brian was open to talking about it, I'll give you a bit of insight. I mentioned to him initially, I said, obviously this won't go in the episode, yada, 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 but, and then lo and behold, he was like, oh no, you can put that in the episode, I don't mind. So it was like, awesome. He's just so like open to this kind of stuff. And like, you know, there's no kind of like, you know, I asked him pretty much all sorts of different things. And he's always very open about it and always very kind of like happy to talk about it. And the fact that he was happy to reveal there was even more stuff coming in this particular wave and related was just awesome. So yes, more fun and cool stuff to come. We're going to move on a little bit, though, and staying with Super 7 and Brian Flynn. He also revealed to us the theme for SDCC, which was amazing. Now, we spoke about SDCC with him on the last interview, but this was brand new information, and that is Cobra International Operations is the name for, is the theme for SDCC this year. So there's going to be another Cobra based kind of like push in terms of merchandise and all the kind of the thematic elements around the show for Super 7. Do you like the fact, Pat, that they really play up the G.I. Joe stuff for these events?
Oh yeah. The like, it's unfortunate that I can't get out there. You know, I would love to actually be at San Diego Comic-Con someday, but the expense of making the trip and the timing of whenever it is never good for me for work. So I just enjoy it from afar, and I really like seeing what they do with the storefront. It's crazy that they take the storefront and completely change it, first of all. And the fact that they've been doing it for G.I. Joe, I mean, there's other reaction lines. They could do a storefront change and change it to some other brand, but we're getting G.I. Joe. You know?
Yeah. Diana's got a good point here. She said, that surprised me because I thought it was going to be Joe themed. Yeah, like I think we spoke last time and I asked him, like, is it likely we're going to get another kind of, you know, G.I. Joe related kind of thing in the last interview? And I believe he even said in that interview yeah, we're going to do something G.I. Joe related, like, you know, kind of thing. And there was a bit of information divulged. But effectively, I think what's happened is they've probably had a shift in what they wanted to do. They've probably, like, you know, gathered the, like, all of the, well, this is what we want to do and this is how we want to do it. And they're going to connect it a little bit to the previous year. So it's like you apply for Cobra, but now you're in Cobra. So now the operations begin. So there's going to be kind of like this interesting, like, theme. And that obviously opens up the door, doesn't it, Pat, for some pretty interesting options. Ed, straight away, throwing in Forcer, Naha, Cobra Mortal, Cobra Diaco. Good. Like, I mean, this is stuff we could probably see. Like, if we think about G.I. Joe and where it is in the globe, where it's been in the globe, South America, obviously, Canada, the UK, Europe, India, Russia. You know, like, it's pretty much like it appeared pretty much everywhere. So there's kind of like almost like specific continuities and characters and all sorts in these different areas of the globe. So it really does open the door here, doesn't it? I mean, what do you think we're likely to see here?
Oh, I don't know. I guess maybe I was even assuming that he did mention this is like a storefront thing again, didn't he? I don't know. It could be anything. I mean, this theme is this specific to Ultimates or Reaction, or is it both?
Both. You get so like last year we had the Comic Bat Ultimates, and then we had Glow Patrol Reaction. That's right. We had the Pyramid of Darkness set, and then we had a couple of others. We had Snake Eyes with the torn sleeve showing the tattoo.
Right.
And there was another one, wasn't there? There was another kind of like almost like minor rejig of a figure, I want to say. But yeah, like there was a lot of stuff. And then obviously all of the t-shirts and all of those backpacks and jackets and all sorts of collaborative kind of endeavors going on. So we'll probably get a similar kind of thing going on this time. I personally would expect if it's kind of Cobra International, I expect some sort of Reaction set would be pretty cool.
And I recall the merchandise they had wasn't just like brand slapping. It was actually kind of designed from the ground up. It wasn't like they just took some jackets and put the Cobra logo on them. It was like the lining of the jacket even had, you know, Cobra stuff inside of it. So it was good stuff.
Yeah, it was definitely, they did collaborations, I believe, with the jacket and the backpack. And obviously they create their own things for the socks and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the collabs, like, obviously they were super cool. Like that backpack is amazing, that Storm Shadow one. And like you say, the jacket, it was a Firefly reversible, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it, just dope stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, I'm expecting similar things again. I would probably think off the top, like, for me, it's kind of like deep cuts, but then also probably what's on the surface of our obscurity level, because obviously Pat's obscurity level, guys, would be so crazy. Like, you wouldn't even understand the reference without context a lot of the time. So, but we had this conversation, Pat, didn't we? And I feel like, you know, like the general obscurity level for like a casual fan is going to be very different to the obscurity level for someone who's into like pre-production and, you know, like the history of it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I also am trying to think of what would be
surface level obscurity.
What would be easy for them to do versus what would be like, would they want to do an Owen Vaser and just have like a Snake Eyes with a Cobra logo on his chest? And I think, well, maybe that's a little too obvious.
Yeah.
You know, because they could do an Ultimates, but especially considering the fact that the Snake Eyes that they released wasn't in black.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but then it almost would be like, well, why does it look so much like Snake Eye? You know, and the fact that he just has a Cobra logo and that's the only difference, I don't know if that would be the one that would make sense to do.
I'm trying to think. I'm looking at like what they have. Let's talk Ultimates quickly here, because we might get something Ultimates. If we've had like the comic map, right?
Yeah. Bat seemed to be a pretty popular figure from last year.
Yeah, and the fact that it was like loads of new tooling was really surprising.
Yeah, the fact that they put new tooling into it, it's almost like just take at least one ultimate and, you know, give it some real attention with recolor and new parts.
Now, if I'm like, personally, I'd love it to see some sort of Palutoid kind of like nod, right? Obviously, Baron Ironblood, which has been mentioned a lot today already.
Yeah.
That would be ultimately the coolest ultimate I think I would ever envision ever. Like almost like a what if Baron Ironblood was in the Sunbow cartoon. I think I would cry, honestly. If they ever did that, I think I would genuinely just cry at how awesome that would be.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, though, like, that would be a lot more than just a new head sculpt that they would need to do.
Oh,
that'd be tons of stuff that they would need to do.
But I would still cry. And if you're going to do a Baron Ironblood in any way, shape, or form, you do it for SDCC during Cobra International Operations. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do anything like that, it would be, now would be the time.
Yeah, they could do Quarrel, but I don't necessarily, that's not Cobra. So what are their options for?
That's another thing, isn't it? Like, bless you. That's another thing you got to kind of like maybe unravel is if, even though it's Cobra International Operations, that doesn't mean like, you know, they still have to battle people. So,
well, that's true. That is true.
Do they still do? You know, it was Cobra last year, and we still got Snake Eyes and Shipwreck in.
But if the theme was talked about as being G.I. Joe this year, and they switched it to Cobra, I have a tendency that that's probably because
that's a good point.
The characters are going to tend to be Cobra.
Yeah, let's look at a couple of easy ones then in Ultimates. Cobra Commander is Red Laser, and Destro is Red Jackal. They're pretty straightforward, easy repaint kind of scenarios, aren't they? With that if you're going to do a Red Laser, you might want to change the head sculpt a little bit. Maybe. Just to give it something different. I don't know.
Yeah, and you could do a Red Shadows, maybe out of the Cobra Trooper.
Damn, son.
Maybe.
Yeah, red. Oh,
like a different head on that and change the color of it.
The fact that...
It's not an exact one-to-one. You could do Flint in Cobra Disguise, but that's not really international.
KevJewel100 says... Has Cobra ever, Brian ever alluded to Cobra Alar at any point? Not for this, I don't think, KevJewel, but if we're talking Sunbow and we're talking, there's a couple of points here. If we're talking Sunbow and we're talking Super 7 and we're talking international, then you could just point a thing on the map to the Himalayas and go, Cobra Alar is international.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? But at the same time, he has alluded in the past, technically, to doing the movie stuff, but staying there for a while and like getting in there and staying there. So it could be that it's like maybe this is the teaser going into it. I don't know, but it's a possibility. But I would say, as a betting person, I would probably say no to SDC doing anything Cobra Lar related right now. What would you think about that, Pat?
Yeah, I think that if they're going to get into the movie, they're going to stay in the movie, and that makes sense to me. I think, like we talked about before, if there gets to be like the smart way to approach the entire toy line would be to hit big and, you know, do a bunch of cool stuff, and then as soon as you see that dip and it's kind of like losing popularity, that's when you break out the movie to increase the exposure and everything else, and to do that at a San Diego. But I think that if that's going to be what it is, and it's going to be the movie, it's going to be something that's a little more obvious than that connection of Kobolov over in the Himalayas.
No,
so I
agree.
I don't think it's going to be anything like that.
Totally.
Some of the other options of what it could be. There's a lot of Action Force things that they could do.
Yeah.
Jammer and Gaucho.
Totally.
But those, again, aren't Cobra.
Yeah. Just before we move on a little bit here, Viper Scout, you said the crosshairs are on Florida, Dreadnoughts. The crosshairs are on Florida. That's got nothing to do with SDCC or Super 7. I made this image, by the way. Just to be clear, this is an image I created to visually represent Cobra International Operations.
Yeah,
I
took these the...
I took the low. Yeah, I don't want it to be kind of like confusing anybody. The Cobra logo is the old Palitoy Cobra logo, which I just, you know, yoinked and splashed on a textured background. And that globe is actually from an old 1990 catalog from Belgium, I think, or maybe the Benelux catalog. But anyway, it's basically from the front of that. So that's all that is. Don't worry, there's got nothing to do with the actual Super 7 graphics or anything. So just to be clear on that.
The Cobra logo always makes me think of Burple. Does anyone remember Burple?
I think it's awesome, but yeah, it has got that kind of.
But the way
it has got a little
accordions at the top,
yeah,
it reminds me of that old Kool-Aid-like drink.
It has got like a goofy vibe as well, hasn't it? A little bit. I think what it is, it's just because the eyes have pupils. I think if you just had black eyes on the snake and no details on the face, I think you'd probably get away with it looking a bit meaner. But the fact that more detail's been added makes it a little bit cartoony and cute. It's like a cute villain, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a neat logo. I see this existing somewhere in continuity with the G.I. Joe, you know, just in general. Like this would be on a letterhead that Cobra would have, or it's obviously not the Cobra logo, but it wasn't really meant to be the Cobra logo on the package. It was just kind of the rather than having that yellow thing that said the enemy,
yeah,
or whatever, or said Cobra enemy,
yeah.
They have this.
I love it. I think they had a t-shirt with this for a while, didn't they? I think Super 7 had a t-shirt for this.
Oh, did they?
I think so.
So that means this is on their radar. I'm curious to see how it's decked out, because you also have like the Japanese Cobra logo.
Yeah. So we see that's another area that had its own like continuity and everything going on. You know, that's an area that they might want to delve into. So obviously we've got like I said, we've got Fun School in Russia and in India. I expect to see like nods to characters in all of these areas. Maybe we get like one of each all over the globe. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would make sense. Trying to kind of do things from around the world. But I don't know where that leaves us. Like looking at what the options are. I think some of the Action Force stuff is some of the stuff that makes the best sense. Because I'm even thinking like, you know, Fun School, Stalker, or the Argentina Stalker, but again, not Cobra. So
yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like all the interesting ones always fall into like the G.I. Joe category, don't they? Like Canary Ann's an interesting one because she's like a bright yellow,
you know,
Lady J. White Iceberg. Weisberg, as I like to call him.
I'm looking at the options and I'm not sure. I don't really know what they could may come out with.
I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? It's too vague to really specify what it could be. So I think we're just going to have to expect some awesome, fun stuff. I expect Sunbow to be represented still, because they always do that. So I think some sort of Sunbow nod, some sort of direct Sunbow nod in an international sense, like where they've maybe been abroad or in a different country or whatever. And there's plenty of episodes. Again, it's so vast, the options right there. So I think that could be a really interesting one.
Obviously the Storm Shadow repaints that have gone to Target in the reaction form could end up in the Ultimates line too.
Oh goodness me, yes, because Storm Shadow's in there, isn't he?
Now
he's in wave 3, isn't he? Of course.
Yeah, so that could be something. But who knows?
Maybe they'll do White Doc from the movie, because they've got Ultimate White Doc. Could you imagine that? And they package him with his back to camera, just like that's the only time you really see him. Amazing. If you haven't seen the movie, I don't know why you're watching this show, because it's amazing. Special Mission Brazil.
Yeah, there's a good call.
That's a great shout, Death Valley Machine. Just as like some sort of like set.
Yeah. Yeah, especially as a reaction set. I could see Special Mission Brazil doing several of them.
Imagine if it came with a tape. Yeah. I would cry again. The more tears would come out of me if they it came with a little cassette tape and nothing to play it on. Has anyone got a cassette player? Let us know in the comments. And would you like them to do a little tape? Or what would you, Pat, would you prefer them to do a tape, but to also have like a little USB port thing on it so you could actually use it practically?
Yeah, I just think that including a tape as an accessory would be fun.
That would be so fun, wouldn't it? Oh my goodness. Anyway, Jeremy says Ninja Ku, Satan, Cobra Invasor, all three easy Cobra repaints. Ninja Ku, Satan have kind of been done already. So, and like they do have precedent, Jeremy, don't they, of having Snake Eyes kind of as a done again, but in like a SDCC exclusive version. So maybe they could rip Ninja Ku and Satan's shirts and show the Arashikage symbol there. Or maybe they could come up with a symbol or a tattoo or a I Ching for Ninja Ku. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Because Ninja Ku wouldn't necessarily be, that's like their own thing, right? It'd be its own character with its own clan.
Yeah. I don't know. There's too many options. My brain is still trying to match up all of the Ultimate stuff with international G.I. Joe.
Another great shout from Sith Viper 77, October Guard. I wonder if they probably won't touch that for a while, though.
I was going to bring that up too, but I'm just thinking that that's going to be one they're going to avoid.
Expect them to do, at the least, I expect like a Russian fun school homage. That would probably be about as far as it went in terms of that kind of representation. Would you think, Pat?
Sure. Yeah, I could see that.
The figure six pack says, have they made Footloose yet? He could be made for Claymore. No Footloose yet, which is surprising because he was actually massive in the Sunbow cartoon. But I think if you would, they could still do it and then just pre-paint. It's a pre-paint of Footloose, mm-hmm. effectively. Yeah. Noodles says Super 7 needs to do the Viper from the Viper is coming for April Fools next year. That would be pretty cool. Actually, let's talk April Fools quickly, Pat. Would you like that one?
Agree.
Yeah.
Did I like that one, or do I?
No.
Do I
like... Would you like that one
for the Viper? Yeah. Absolutely. That to me is on the short list, like that of the crazy stuff that Super 7 needs to make. Yes, the Viper needs to be a figure that they release.
I think the Viper does, and also Satin's Band is still up there. And I did talk about this with Brian on the interview as well. Like I said, you know. It feels like it's too obvious to do for them, but you know it's coming at the same time.
Yeah. At some point, they're going to need to release those for sure.
Do you feel like Satin's Band is in the same camp as your theory on the movie stuff? Like
a little
when there's
bit,
a dip, because they might want... Yeah.
Yeah. Of all the obscure stuff, that's one of the ones that people are like, that's wacky. Yeah, they need to do that. And so I think that, you know, maybe they don't even do that next year, maybe the year after. For me, Metalhead's grandmother also is one that I think would be funny.
I hate you so much. I'm just kidding. That is just that episode just cuts me to the bone. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Kev Jewell says that tape is just for looking at. Yes, it is. But that would be cool, wouldn't it? Just have the tape in there and then... Like, or maybe like Pat says, like an accessory tape for
one of
the characters.
Yeah, like that's probably not their mission.
Yeah.
Like Mission Impossible kind of thing.
That would be so
awesome. It came to them on tape.
So awesome. A little tape cassette player. A little cassette player with a little button. Like just the little handheld ones. Oh, yes, please. You could record your own adventure on Side B, says Death Valley Machine. I love these options. This is great. Bongo the Bear as well is another good shout. Cole Slither's an obvious one, isn't it, that needs to happen. That's Cold Slither, Satin's Band and Cold Slither on the same level in the movie. They're all on the same level, in my opinion. Those three things need to be delved into. And when I say the movie, I mean Cobra La, I mean multiple new characters that appeared in that film.
Yeah, I think that you also need to look at how many characters are in the set, because how many people would be necessary for Cold Slither? Isn't it just four, right?
It's just the three classic, original three and Zartan,
Zartan. Yeah. So
yeah, it's drums, keyboard, and two guitars. And how many for Zartan's on one of the guitars? Oh, do you know? Because you could do Cold Slither, and you could do the Average Joe Band.
So we're just gonna have the Battle of the Bands, and then Satin's band is in there too. G.I. Joe Battle of the Bands. Yeah.
Death Valley Machine Battle of the Bands. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Because you'd have Covergirl, Scarlet, and Lady J as backup singers in the weird costumes that they're wearing in that moment. You'd have Rock and Roll with No Helmet on. Is Footloose playing the drums? I think Footloose plays the drums.
And there's a Deke episode too with like Sonic Psych Out playing the guitar.
Dude, there could be a lot of music related. Yes, that would be great. I'm here for it all day. But I feel like if you're doing Cold Slither, the Average Joe Band would make sense to do as well. Not necessarily together in one big set, but maybe two separate sets.
Yeah, I think Satin's band beats out the Average Joe Band.
Yeah, but it's on the same episode, is what I'm getting at. Satin's band is a thing of its own. It's its own ecosystem, in my opinion. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like it can kind of like.
Yeah, that's true.
I know what you're saying though. From what your perspective actually is, like a double whammy of people wanting both of those things, and if they're happening similar times,
I'm more thinking along the lines of what would sell.
Yeah, yeah, and those two. Well, this is what I'm thinking, right? If you were to do Average Joe Band and Cold Slither, you're gonna make sales. It's gonna be like the rising tide thing, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's true. Since they are in the same episode, releasing them at the same time, I think that does make sense.
And then if you have Footloose is on rhythm guitar, thank you, Diana. A Shipwreck's on the drums. That's right. Thank you. I had a feeling Shipwreck was in that group as well, but couldn't picture where he was. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Yeah, so then that would give Satin's band, again, like that one thing that people seem to be like pining for, its own space as well, like to also make a decent amount of sales. But man, there's so much fun stuff in the Sumbo series. And that's what I love about it, man. Absolutely love about it. Okay, well. We are going very long at the moment, guys. We've got one more news story to cover. How does this happen? Right, next up then, and we're going to finish off with a little bit of classified news. Here we go.
It was a fun week for those holding out on certain classified figures as a few decent sales were posted by Amazon and Big Bad Toy Store. On Wednesday, Amazon dropped the Crimson Twins down to $12.99 each, which is effectively the cost of one standard classified figure for the two Corsican Acrobat businessmen. On top of that massive deal, BBTS gave us a special one-day sale that included Movie Snake Eyes, Stalker and the Viper 3-pack, which was all the way down to $64.99. So well done if you are holding out for deals on these particular figures.
Yeah, absolutely. This was one of those ones that I thought probably has a deeper conversational texture to it as well.
Nice
to see that, you know, some people got an opportunity to pick some of these up that maybe they weren't going to get in the first place. The twins being down to $12.99 is kind of crazy for me. Like, I think I really like those figures. I think they're really good. They're, you know, obviously the high end of the quality spectrum for classified. It's very interesting to see that happen. But what was really crazy to me was to see that 3-pack drop to $64.99 for the one-day sale. But probably coming down to a price that I think I'd have been more comfortable spending originally. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Honestly, that pack is kind of a sore spot with me. I still didn't buy it because at this point I look at it and I don't have good feelings associated with it, because up to that point I was all in on classified. And when that one hit, it was just like this, the price of these, you know, I'm not somebody that wants to say, you know, wait for Ross and get things cheap. But at the same time, I needed to not just write a blank check either.
Totally.
Hasbro, because I just kind of feel like if you're going to do a multi-pack, especially a multi-pack that is all the same mold.
Yeah.
There needs to be either some savings for the fact that there's economies of scale at play, and yeah. I'm buying multiples of the same thing from you, or there needs to be some other incentive inserted at the same price.
Yeah.
But that set, you know, it did have the effects pieces, which I don't like, but I understand that costs extra.
Right.
So yeah, you expect to pay extra for those, but man, it came right after the price hike, and it was just like, you're paying, you know, the full price for all of them. Plus it was a lot. It was a lot.
I agree. When I saw the price for those, I was like, it was like $89.99, wasn't it? And I was like,
yeah,
that is a lot. That's like 30 per figure. Do you know what I mean? Like that's what it was.
Math doesn't work out on that set.
No,
it doesn't at all.
Because I think I was taken by surprise, because when I heard multi-pack originally, I was looking at it and I was thinking, well, that would be, yeah, 65, 70, 69.99 maybe. That's what I kind of expected. So yeah. For it to be like significantly more than that, I was like, yeah, that's... Yeah.
It honestly, it felt like Hasbro getting greedy. Because if you do the math, $25 per figure is not really what we're paying. You know, even still, it's not quite... Yeah. We're not quite to 25.
Yeah.
But multiply 3 times 25, you get to 75.
Yep.
Then you add in an effects set, and I'm paying $15 for that. If the effects really cost $15, then logically you should be able to remove the accessories from a figure and sell me just a figure for $10. And that's not what's going to happen. Like that just isn't, you could just tell that that's not the price breakdown of things.
Yeah.
Like, I really think that they needed to get that set as close to $60 as possible. I mean, if they really needed to price it at that much, maybe you look at it and go, you know what, we can't do this for the price that we need to get it for. So it just isn't something we can do.
Yeah.
And I think that's reflected in the sales that we're constantly seeing on that set.
Yeah, I have to agree on that one. And like I said, I was very surprised at the price point when it first dropped. And then not just that, but then like when I saw subsequent sales, I was still kind of going, still not at the price I would expect it. I just assumed it would be at. And again, that was taken into consideration, the fact that things had shot up in price, because you know, they're still at, for a standard classified figure, they're still in that, was it 25 kind of zone?
Yeah.
So like they're in that arena at the moment, $25 kind of arena. So, you know, like you say, you do the mental arithmetic and you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, yeah, it's going to be about 70, $69.99, I'd imagine. That feels like maybe the higher end of the retail price that I would expect to pay. And then when it came out at that, I was like, that's too much. And it has obviously had an effect, because we're having these sales now where they're at $64.99. And
yeah, and realistically, I look at that set and I go, it's going to be less than $50. There's no way it's going to. I just don't see it. I just don't see it maintaining.
Yeah,
I just don't. And somebody asked about the female two pack. I kind of am feeling very similarly. The one figure in there, the yellow accessories, are not detailed enough, I don't think. And it's, again, you know, a lot of the same effects pieces. So,
well, it is the same effects pieces, isn't it, completely?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that. I was kind of hoping that, you know, they would have a larger array of kind of blast effects that they would then start, like, chopping and cutting. And, you know, some would go in, like, smaller packs because they made sense, and some would go in the bigger sets because they would make sense. You know, weapon specific, that kind of thing. So I get it if like you get the same like blast effects for the same rifle, for example. But if you're getting different weapons, I kind of almost expect there to be a broader range of effects. And we've seen now those same effects have been utilized 3 times with Steel Core, the female Chew pack, and this Viper 3 pack. And I expect them to be used again as well. But I don't think, you know, if you've got those blast effects, I don't expect to keep buying the same blast effects each time. Like, I don't really You know, like, I've got them now. And I know there's probably an element of giving you lots so that all of your figures that have already come out can utilize them.
Sure.
But I don't know. I'd like to see more. And let's face it, that not all of them can use them because they don't have the blast port in every rifle.
Right. A lot of them do. And that was some great planning. But I do think that they need, if they're going to continue with blast effects, it needs to be something different. But if it had to hit $90 in order to include those blast effects, forget the blast effects. And somebody else is saying, you know, it's size down the package as well. Like, who's Yorktown Joe says, sell them in bags to make it cheaper. Yeah, this was a mail-in set. It didn't need to have a large package.
Kitty said, I mean, I definitely agree with the price in general on that one. And obviously we're seeing the fruits of that right now with these sales. Yeah. In any case, I did think it was worth having a discussion on, and maybe there's a bigger discussion in this pat down the road. Maybe we can like save a little bit of this for a monthly conversation in the future. Because obviously this is probably going to be one of those things that kind of crops up again in terms of the pricing and the volume and all that kind of stuff. And
there's a lot of price stuff that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I'm not there. I'm obviously not an industry insider. I don't have any firsthand information, but sometimes I walk into the store and I see one Groot and another Groot and the prices don't make sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Jeffrey says they talked about accessories pack for classified. Any idea what they might do? Excuse me. Yeah, there's been talk about it. I don't know. I think effectively what it sounds like is that they're trying to kind of increase the amount of accessories within certain packs and certain like sets, because we've been seeing that a lot with some of the reveals, a lot of kind of weapons, a lot of weapon reuse, a lot of new weapons, a lot of new stuff being added. It's almost like they started off heavy accessory wise. They thinned out a little bit and started getting a little fewer accessories, and then it kind of spiked back up again. And I think that probably follows the kind of way that the classified line has evolved as a line and how it's been viewed at Hasbro itself. And probably all of the more resources that's been pumped towards the brand based on the success of it. So I think, Jeffrey, what has probably happened there is they were probably thinking about it and talking about it in previous interviews. I know we've asked them that question in previous interviews, but they're probably going again away from that idea and probably just including more accessories now in general. I don't know. A lot of people are asking about it, but this is the thing, right? This is the thing I will say. Loads of people ask for stuff, but then... So imagine this is the amount of people that are asking for stuff, and it could be millions of people are asking for stuff. The people that then buy the stuff that they are then given minimizes quite dramatically. Then in that particular group, you can minimize it even more with the people that can't afford it at that time. And then you can minimize it even more with the people that don't like that particular set that has been offered. So it could be that loads of people are asking for it, but that doesn't relate to the same amount of people buying it. And then again, or maybe even more people buying it. So it's an interesting one, but it's one I can understand them holding back on a little bit. Do you know what I mean, Pat?
Yeah, I do. But I will say that I think that we've been fortunate that G.I. Joe has not had the accessory cuts like Marvel has been seeing, because you look at the Marvel figures in the store and most of them just don't come with anything anymore. And maybe they didn't need to begin with. If that was a way that they could have kept the price down by not having some weird effect or flame.
Magical effect on the wrist.
Maybe it didn't need that to begin with. If it's going to end up in a bag underneath a shelf somewhere, maybe it was something that they just should have cut anyway. But G.I. Joe isn't that way. So much of what they're doing is part of the accessory and the thing that they're holding. But I will say that I think it would be great if we got some of those stands from the retro series out in a pack so that the G.I. Joe's figures could have G.I. Joe stands. And I think that since a lot of accessories have been made already for the G.I. Joe line, if they were to package those and sell them as like a separate accessory set on Hasbro Pulse, maybe some of those other toy lines would actually be buying the accessory set. Like, you don't necessarily have to be a G.I. Joe collector to buy the G.I. Joe accessories to go with your Marvel figures.
Yeah, totally. So, totally. It
would be a good idea, I think.
So, I mean, as I was saying, this could be like, again, this could be a deeper conversation, I think, going forwards. And we'll probably, like, I remember our first monthly episode was a, you know, are we at that point? Are we at oversaturation point as collectors? It was funny that was our first actual conversation, wasn't it, in the monthly series?
It's been a while.
It has, hasn't it? Yeah, 17 months it's been.
Wow.
I only realized that because we do one a month and we're up to episode 17. So we've actually got the Night Force special dropping soon, as soon as I can finish editing it. We recorded that yesterday. That was a lot of fun, actually, Pat, wasn't it? Yeah, so
yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's going to be a good one.
That's a good one. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the news. Like I said, we'll circle back to this particular topic, and we'll definitely, you know, I'll definitely be talking to the Hasbro crew on Monday as well anyway. So maybe I can throw a couple of questions their way regarding some of these choices, some of these ideas, and some of these things that we've been talking about today. Again, they're also very open at that with that stuff too. So expect that to pop out maybe Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on... because I'm sure I'll have to get confirmation as well. Like, I'll have to get, I'll have to get them to kind of like give me the sign off that I'm okay to post it. So I will, I'll aim for like Wednesday or Thursday would probably be more likely for that episode to be aired. But yeah, okay. That brings us to the end of the news finally. My God, what an episode. Let's move into shout outs next. But first, a word from Hoarder.
Have you tried Hoarder yet? No? Well, you need to. If you have a collection of things and want to create a fun and easy way of organizing it and, of course, showing it off, then get involved. You can post items and build collections, and you can drop a status like getting a fun delivery or seeing some awesome related stuff on your travels. Build your collections with Hoarder. The app is free to download on Google Play and the App Store. So what are you waiting for? Get to hoarding.
I just always vibe out to the music on these shows. Yes, and I can say that because I made it. Right, shout outs, Pat. Take us through the shout outs.
I already talked about my shout out at the beginning of the episode. It's shout out to Philip, and sorry I haven't gotten going again still on the edit. It's been a heck of a month. I give it 2 months, actually, with other things for me to do. I've not been home a lot.
Is that your excuse?
That is my apology. Yeah, it's the Pat apology tour.
Pat apology tour starting this week and every...
Starting this week. It's been like 4 weeks or 5 weeks now.
It's a tour that hasn't left your state yet, which is interesting.
That's true.
Keeps coming back to the same place. Shout out to Phil, of course. And I'm getting some articulated points withdrawal symptoms, Pat. You're gonna have to do something soon, mate, because I want to see some deep dive knowledge nuggets.
Okay.
Okay, cool. That's your shout out. My shout out to the fam. Big shout out to mum and dad in the UK and the whole fam in the UK, obviously. Hope everyone's doing good. And of course, all the fam in the US. Love you guys very much. Kate and Phoebes as well, who are not near me at the moment, but will be soon. So shout out to everybody. The usual. Love you guys. To Brian Sauer for our amazing graphics. And also a massive thank you to Brian for coming through very last minute to get me some graphics for the interview that I edited very quickly with Brian. And then I was just desperately messaging, I just want to upload it now. Please just get me the things. So thank you, Brian, for getting those graphics done. I really appreciate it, mate. And this past week was the anniversary of Hector Garrido's passing. So I thought it would be, and also a shout out to The Finest. This is the image I took from The Finest's post. Massive shout out to The Finest, obviously, which I'm technically a part of. So I just wanted to shout them out, obviously, for putting this graphic together, and also to Hector Garrido, who was obviously such a huge, huge figure in the G.I. Joe universe, and the art that he did for the line is just, it, you know, I thought it was worth even just mentioning and talking a little bit about here, Pat, because, you know, it's been, what, 3 years? What are we in now? 23? Yeah, it's been 3 years now since he passed away, which is crazy to me that that was the case, because I remember us talking about it at the time. But I mean, such an instrumental figure in G.I. Joe.
Yeah, for sure. Just drawing so many people in and helping bring life to all the characters. I think I even mentioned it then, just seeing a kid in the aisles whenever the 25th line was on the pegs. And of all the toys, you know, and he was maybe 10. And he walked by and kind of did the, whoa!
Yeah.
And it wasn't, they weren't all Garrido art, but they were based on the Garrido art, and some of them were. But yeah, it just was that pop on the shelf that still exists, that still was working, and had a kid stop in his tracks to see G.I. Joe. I mean, how important is that?
Very. And it, yeah, it's also very cool that, you know, a lot of the work he did just made it around the entire world. At the time, yeah. The fact that it was on, you know, it was artwork that was utilized for other brands going all over the place. So yeah, absolutely massive, massive figure in the history of the brand, and yeah, will be as continues to be sorely missed. Basically, yeah, I just wanted to kind of make that a clear one, and also yeah, like I said, thank you to the Finest who put this image together. So thank you, Finest, for letting me use this. Also, massive shout out to Brian Flynn from Super 7. Thank you so much for doing the interview, buddy. It was an absolute blast, as always. And yeah, you can check that out if you haven't watched it after the show finishes in the link below. Or if you just go on our YouTube channel, you'll find it. It's the next, the most, it's one of the latest videos. So go check it out. And also, an unboxing I did the other day. So this was mentioned at the beginning of the show, actually. Not by me, but by someone in the comments. But yes, I did an unboxing of the Retro Zartan and Retro Storm Shadow. That was a lot of fun as well. So you can go check that out afterwards as well. We've got loads of content for you if you can be bothered. and also one more shout out I wanted to give. And this is really difficult and really sad and quite upsetting. But massive shout out to Roma Collectibles, Aaron, Sarah, Kenny, everyone connected with Roma Collectibles, especially Aaron, of course. Aaron's mother, Marcy, passed away. She had a crazy long battle with cancer, unfortunately, and passed away this week. And it was, honestly, it hit us very hard because I was very close to, I'm very close to Aaron, very close to that family. Kate and I probably, we joke about it, but we kind of, you know, a big part of our relationship is with that family and Marcy as well, who Kate jokes that she's the reason that we're together sometimes. So I just want to kind of put a, you know, just basically say, you know, it's awful, it's sad, our thought, our love, and everything is with you guys that are affected, the family, the close friends, all the people that are affected by it. And we just wanted to make it a point to say at the end of the show as well today. So all our love to the Dietrichs, and of course, we're going to miss you, Marcy, big time. And I'm tearing up talking about it because it's really difficult. Like I said, we were very close, and I feel awful for Aaron and the Roma team. Yeah, so I just want to say that. Rest in peace, Marcy. You're absolutely wonderful human being. Pat, anything to say before I cry?
I unfortunately never got to meet her, but you're not the only person in the G.I. Joe community that's mentioned to me how amazing she was and how generous she was. That's always the thing that's tied to it, is I've heard multiple times from people, oh, you know, you need to go to her house.
Yeah, it's amazing.
An odd thing to hear about another G.I. Joe fan's mother, how much she's, oh, you know, come in and is very welcome and interested in what you have to say and who you are. That's the thing that I've heard from you, but also independently from other people. So it's one of those things that I'm sure it's a situation where I've missed out by not taking the time when I had one opportunity to go over there. I think that you were in the area.
Yeah.
And I probably should have.
Yeah. I'm again, like, she was great. And like, yeah, going to the house was a lot of fun. They, yeah. And again, like I said, all our thoughts, all our love go out to the family and everything who are affected by that. Anyway, yeah, rest in peace, Marcy. And next up, just want to say thank you guys to all of the comments, all of the viewers, listen, all of the support, all of our patrons. We appreciate it very much. Peppermint Oil Capsule, thank you so much for the super chat as well. Now to promote today, have a couple quid anyway. Thank you, Peppermint Oil Capsule. That's very kind. And we really appreciate it. And do you know what? I'm going to say it anyway. Sergeant Slaughter Slaughterhouse, go check them out. Go check out the YouTube channel. It's awesome. Some great content on there. And of course, you know, friends of the show. So have a great one. Also, I'll also shout out A Toy Kind of Mood because they are doing an amazing Hasbro interview with Lenny and Tony, I believe, on Wednesday. So that's dropping Wednesday. So big shout out to A Toy Kind of Mood. Go check out their YouTube channel as well and all that good stuff. Thank you again to everybody for watching. It's been an absolute... How did we do an hour and a half? This is nuts. I blame Patrick for all of this. Anyway,
it's my fault.
Buddy, thank you for jumping
on. One of many things I have to apologize for. The show is also my fault. Apologies to everyone.
Thank you, Pat, for everything, mate. Really appreciate you jumping on, buddy.
It's always fun.
As always, you know what to do at the end of these episodes, guys. After three... 1, 2, 3, 4.
Full force.
See ya later.
Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/The Full Force. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/The Full Force Podcast, or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.